Bend this over or just leave it where it's at? That's kind of cool. I've never seen that before. So.
Anyway, everybody hear me all right?
Yeah.
I get kind of loud, so I apologize if I blow it out. I don't think I will, but I just want to say praise God for Missions Conference. Thank you, Pastor and Church, for caring about souls. Thank you for taking such good care of us. I'm
Andrew, I don't
very
think
thankful.
That, I don't think that mic is on. Something's happening.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. I don't think I bumped anything.
No,
I see green.
You see green?
Yeah.
You want me to switch to the other lapel?
1, 2.
I don't think so. I don't even think this one doesn't have a mute, does it?
Testing 1, 2. Check, test.
Testing 1. There we go. I'm that guy. Okay. Now you can hear me. All right. I'll try not to blow you out. I was just saying thank you very much for having us in, for taking care of us. I know Pastor shared some about my persistence. My youngest son's that way. My wife says, man, he's persistent. I said, well, he probably got it from me. So, I feel like I'm extremely hot there. I don't want to have the scratch in there. I know that's annoying, so just tell me if I'm good, bad. But anyway, thank you for having us in. I always, as a missionary, I say, man, I feel like sometimes thank you is, it doesn't, come on in. This is my wife, Miss Summer, here. She came in. Praise the Lord. No, I feel like a lot of times thank you is not sufficient, but honestly, we know there's not a lot more we can do, but I do, as you guys talk to my wife and I and get to know us, I hope if nothing else, I want to be real. I don't believe in putting on a show and that, and I can't. I'm not good at it, but thank you. Thank you for caring about souls. I was thinking about what Brother mentioned there earlier, and I'll probably get emotional. Because I think from somebody standing before you in flesh and blood, and most of you, a lot of you guys heard my testimony the other night a little bit. For those of you that were not here, we are radio media missionaries, and our whole thrust of our ministry is to get the gospel to those that have not heard. And I was saved by radio. I was saved by somebody that cared enough, that invested their time, their money in that to put a little thing on the radio. And I'm going to get choked up. And I heard the question at the age of 31, do you know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? I'd never pondered that. I'd never thought about it. I think about different stuff I've done in my life, and I thought, man, what if I would have died? I'd been in hell. I hope that things like that ring home more than just emotional, that you realize it's real. There's people in the world that have not trusted Christ as their Savior because they have never heard. The reason I was not saved, the reason that I didn't get saved till I was 31 years old is because I had never heard. And if you're a second, third, fourth generation Christian, you're saying, man, I do not know what that's like. But if you're a first-generation Christian, you probably say, man, that rings a little bit true. Because I think many times, what if? What if that guy would have said, you know, it's too expensive. I'm too busy. I've got this and this and this going on in my life. I tend to believe that I would still be lost. My wife would still be lost. My children would still be lost. My dad would still be lost. This ministry that we do would not be. All because of one person that chose to put that on there. If you died today, you know for sure you'd go to heaven. So it's real. I pray this is real to you. I pray it's not just something you do. I pray that God would give you insight and open your eyes. There's people that they're not saved all around the world. That's because they have not heard. And if you remember nothing else that I say, or you remember nothing else about our ministry or family, I say this everywhere I go. I pray, ask yourself or just know this, that the decisions you make today and every day going forward will affect somebody's eternity, whether good or bad. You say today, you let it affect you and you say, you know what, I get it. I know that if I open my mouth, it'll make a difference in somebody's eternity. I know if I give more of the faith promise. I know if I pass out of track. I know whatever, It'll make a difference in somebody's eternity. That is a truth, a fact that you cannot get around. The same as if you say, you know what? I'm not preaching. I'm sorry if it seems like I am. If you say, it doesn't matter. I'm going to sit this one out. That will make a difference in somebody's eternity. I never met a white-haired guy on George Street. But the exact same thing made a difference in my eternity. And the ripple effect, as I said the other night, made a difference in many more people's lives. My wife, my children, my dad. Because somebody cared. Somebody said, you know what? I can't do much, but I'm one person, and I can do something. So just keep that in mind. The decision you make today will make a difference. It will affect somebody's eternity. And tomorrow, and there's days, you guys all probably the same as me, there's days that you may struggle, that you just, but encourage yourself. Every morning I get up, I say, God, thank you for this day. And my wife knows this, when we pray together, I say, Lord, I pray what we do makes a difference in somebody's eternity. So I'm forever grateful for somebody I've never met. I look forward to heaven someday. I do. I want to see Jesus. I want to thank him. And I pray, I do, I don't know if it'll be possible, but I say, Lord, let me meet that guy or girl or whoever that cared enough and just say, thank you. He doesn't know. He doesn't know me. I don't know him. And as we witness and as we go around, I pray, who cares about recognition? Who cares if anybody knows? God knows, God keeps tracks, and guess what? That person that you share the gospel with or whatever you do to further the gospel, guess what? It makes a difference, and they'll know. It's okay that maybe we don't get recognized or we don't know. Have faith and say, man, I know it's making a difference. I remind myself of that constantly. Turn, if you will, in the Bible. I got to get myself recentered here. I'm sorry. I told you weren't in here, but I said I knew I was going to get emotional. Exact same thing. If you died today, you know for sure you'd go to heaven. Just the thought of it just overwhelms me of thinking, man, what if he wouldn't? Matthew chapter 13, we're going to look starting in verse 3. I think about as a young man, I grew up on a farm. There's a lot of comparisons I usually make to farming in that. Raised in a good home. I love my parents in that. But we never went to church. As I mentioned, I was in my mid-20s before I stepped foot in the church. I knew nothing about the Lord, the Bible, missions, eternity, salvation, Jesus. I knew none of that. But one thing my dad, as we were growing up, the farm was our life. I grew up in the 70s and 80s on a farm, and that was our 7-day, you know, we got up early. Usually, you know, the cows and that, you get, the trick was with milking cows is you get out there before they start bawling. Because if they're bawling, that means their bags are hurting. And that means dad always said, man, if you get them to that point, they'll start lowering production because you got to get them milked on time. And so that was usually our get up, get out there. It usually was between 5:30 and 6, getting out milking cows. And then, of course, you know, the farm work through the day. And then the evenings, same thing. You milk cows. Some of their chores could wait, but the cows were kind of our... And it was 7 days a week. It was just our world. But one thing my dad liked whenever I was younger now, is wrestling. I don't know if any of you guys ever wrestled in there, but my dad got me into wrestling when I was a really little guy. I was, before I was in kindergarten, I was wrestling. Now, granted, I had brothers, and they'd whoop up on me, and we wrestled, and you know, I don't say we tore up the house, but Mom always said we were tearing up the house wrestling that. But my dad loved wrestling. He'd take me to tournaments and that. And we learned, I didn't have a lot of coaching other than my dad and that. And then when I got elementary age, started being coached in that. And there was something that they were always adamant about in wrestling, and that was the foundational principles of wrestling. And I don't, like I said, I don't know how many of you guys know a lot about wrestling and that, but there's certain things that you keep in mind, you know, when you start off, you're both on your feet and that, and there's certain things you don't want to let your opponent get control of your hands. You don't want to, you know, put your leg out and give him an opportunity. You don't let him get control of your head and put you in a basket cradle. All these things, you know, when you're on the bottom and you're down, you want to maintain your base. You don't let him break you down. There's certain foundational things that just a wrestler, you have to do, or else you're going to lose. And I was thinking about this when I think about, and man, just what I want to teach on this morning is it goes right on with what preacher is preaching there. Of we live in a world that is in chaos. I could mention a couple things, and we could sit here and talk for an hour of things that I think about. My wife and I, and some of you in here, we're raised in the generation when I was a little guy, there was no computers that I knew of. I knew they're probably out there, but we didn't know it. There wasn't cell phones, there wasn't technology and all that. And then by the time we're in junior high, all of a sudden, computers started becoming a thing. I remember the first computers I saw, and now we live in a very tech-advanced society everywhere. I told someone the other day, I said, we've been in jungle areas, we've been in an area where people have nothing and thatch huts and all that, but they have devices, smartphones, computers. They got to go a distance to charge them at, but that's the world we live in. And our world gets more and more chaotic. Our world is out of control. As our pastor used to say, we live in an insane asylum run by the inmates. And it's just, it is. We see it all around us, and it's worldwide. It's not just an American thing. It's not just an African thing. It's all around us. And I thought as Christians, there's certain things that we got to keep focused on, or guess what? We get caught up in that. You know, right now I'd ask, you know, where's your mind at? Check your vision is the theme of the conference and that. And this is just a very simple few points here of looking at to remind us of the foundational thing as a Christian. There's certain truths that we have to keep in mind that if we don't, kind of like wrestling, I sometimes relate it to bull riding. You guys were asking me about bull riding this morning. I've rode bulls as a young man. There's certain things, you know, bull riding's not all about strength, it's about balance. It's about keeping your play. We call it home base, whenever a certain place you want to be on the back of that bull. And if you got out of that place, you did everything you could do to fight to get back to that place, because if not, you're going to get bucked off. As Christians, you think about Jesus Christ came what? To seek and to save that which was lost. There's no greater calling to just do the exact same thing, and guess what? We are commanded to do the exact same thing that he did. Seek and to save that which was lost. Get our mouths open, if you will. I want to look at a few things here in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 3. I'm going to read a few verses here. I won't read it all, but it says, he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We see this, and a lot of times we look at this, and there's different things we bring out a lot of time, but the first thing I want to look at here is the seed. If you're going to sow, what is he going to sow? He's going to sow seed. Yes, the Bible talks about, and I believe it's Proverbs chapter 4, I may be off here a little bit, but verse 2, I think it says something along the line of, I give you good doctrine. We have good seed. What is the seed of a Christian? What are we to be sowing? Very simply, the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The love of Christ. The grace and mercy of God. That somebody that is hell-bound can be heaven-bound, very simply, if they'll put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not complicated. We're the ones that complicate it sometimes. We want to change. Sometimes we think we got to go a different route or a different way. And I understand, dealing with certain people, there is different ways you have to go. You have to be wise about it. But it all should come back to the seed. The seed is very simply the gospel. We have to. That has to be, and that's not what I want to focus on, but if you're going to be a sower in that, you have to have good seed. And I know it's a very simple truth, but getting back to the foundations of everything we saw the last couple weeks, what's going on, and just, I remember we went to Philippines here, forgive me, a few years ago, and everybody was on their phones looking. I thought, man, what happened? And as we were traveling over there was whenever that, you know, what happened over there in Israel. And we found out about it, and I just remember people were just all consumed and up in arms about it, and oh, is this biblical coming true and all that, and I don't know, the Lord just reminded me saying, guess what? No matter what happens in the world, either in our country or around the world, it doesn't change what we ought to be doing. That doesn't sound real dramatic and exciting, I know, but guess what? It is exciting. Because somebody that is lost can be passed on. They can trust the Lord as their Savior and be saved. And we as Christians, the longer we get saved sometimes we tend to, I don't want to say grow bored with it or whatever, but we tend to forget. I'm making a lot of that, I'm sorry. What if somebody had not shared the gospel with you? I don't care if you're a third generation. What if you had not been told? Where would you be? I was telling my wife last night, I said, man, I'm so glad I got saved. And I remind myself of, I don't remember what we were talking about exactly in the Bible, but I said, I want to stay close to the Lord. Because I know what I would probably be like if I just turned my back on the Lord and went back in the world. Where would you be if somebody had not shared the gospel with you? We're no more special than anybody else. Somebody cared and somebody shared the gospel with you, whether as a preacher, whether as a parent, whether as somebody giving you a tract, whatever it was. That seed is very valuable. My dad, one time, I remember we drove to Kansas in a 1969 Chevy one-ton pickup from Iowa. That is a long, long ways, and we didn't get on the interstate because that truck wouldn't have made it. We took Tulane all the way to Kansas, and I was a little guy, and I remember I'd never been so far in all my life, and I loved it. I love out west. I love the openness and that. And I remember getting down there, and we went and got oat seed. I remember saying, Dad, because we'd always got it fairly local before. I said, why did we drive a day just to get some seed oats? He said, son, because it's good seed. Guess what? We've got to give good seed. If we muddy up the gospel, if we tend to get embarrassed or nervous and don't simply plainly give it to somebody, there's a good chance they won't get saved. There's a lot of confusion going on in the world today. We have to give good seed. We see in here also, we drop down and we see the soil that it fell on. Where we're from, it's amazing. There's good ground and there's bad ground. The bad ground, the you know soil types, and that's big where we come from. And guys will give, I don't know, $3,000-$4,000 an acre where that has low the production numbers enough. The soil type's not real good. You get up into some of that really good ground around Washington, it's flat, really good ground, they'll give as high as $20,000-$25,000 an acre. What's the difference? The soil. The soil matters. But I want to look at something very simply here. Where do we come to play in this? The sower went forth to sow. You can have all the seed and all the ground, but if you don't have a sower, guess what? It's all of naught. It sits in the shed. It's not going to spring up because it's stored in the shed. It doesn't have the moisture, doesn't have the soil. Christian, guess what? We can have all the answers. We can be saved. We can have good seed. But if we don't open our mouth, it makes no difference. I told you I get emotional because 2006 is when I got saved, but it's still so real to me. I keep circling back to that. Stop and think about it. If you say, man, it's not about emotionalism, it's not. But do you understand there's people out there that have never heard the gospel? They're unsaved because they haven't heard, not because they've rejected. And there is people that reject. That's just it's a fact. But there's so many, and it's growing in our country. As our country gets further and further from God, so many people like me, and I didn't, you say, oh, you know, you weren't saved, you'd never heard, must have been wicked. No. Grew up on a farm, hard-working place and that, but I just had never heard. My parents had never heard. Now, had they heard earlier? Maybe. I don't know. I remember when I heard the gospel, whenever I was so convicted, if you died today, did you know for sure where you'd go? And I didn't know whenever he, you know, followed up, how do you know? And I couldn't answer that, and I could not explain the doom I had. And I remember, I don't think I shared this, I remember I sought out a pastor. I didn't know the difference between Methodist and Catholic and Presbyterian. I didn't know. I've had people say, oh, surely. No, I didn't. I went to a Methodist pastor, and I said, his name was Andy also, and I said, you know what? I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. And I thought he would give me an answer, and boy, I'd just get this doomed, I'd just get it taken care of. And you know what he did? He patted me on the shoulder, and he goes, don't worry about it, you're okay. And he got up and walked away. And I'm not saying that to down him. I'm just saying, do you understand the importance of giving somebody the truth of the good seed of opening your mouth? And I just remember after that, and I was sitting in a hallway, and he got up and walked away, and I just thought, oh, Lord. I thought, I'm going to hell for sure. That doom, that I just thought, if I don't get the answer here, where am I going to find it? And praise God, went to a little Baptist church and heard the gospel. A sower. It's all about the sower. A sower went forth to sow. There is varying results, but our focus must be on the sowing. We know the verse Psalm 126:5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. But I want you to consider this. Christian, our sowing is getting the precious gospel to the lost. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4, I'm going to read it. You can turn there if you'd like. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Do not wait for perfect conditions to take action. Sow. You always have an excuse for not. Don't let fear and worry cause you to delay. Many in our day focus on different distracting things. Just worry about being a sower. Just worry about being the sower. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, but he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. When I was growing up, guess what? There's different seasons. My dad, he always wanted the potatoes in our garden. He wanted them in the ground before, forgive me, I don't remember. I just remember it was very cold and wet out, and he'd be like, we got to get the taters in the ground so we could have them out of the ground before it frosted and ruined them. Corn planting time. There was a certain time that corn had to be in the ground. It didn't matter if it was cold and the wind was howling, which I always remember being in the garden with the potatoes and sowing oats. It was cold, man. It always seemed like it was cold. But guess what? We as Christians, there's times that, you know what, you may look at something and be like, and understand, I get discernment of the Lord saying, hey, go witness here. Hey, go witness to this one here. But I'm saying, in general, we need to be out sowing. We need to be looking. We need to be seeing opportunities. Otherwise, there's always going to be an excuse of being like, and before you know it, it'll just become a daily thing where you're not sowing because there's always a reason. Be a sower. Be a sower. Ecclesiastes 11:6. We need to be sowing all the time. In the morning, sow thy seed, and in the evening, withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. We need to be diligent in sowing constantly and consistently with perseverance, because we do not know which efforts will bring successful results. Be a sower. Have you ever witnessed to somebody, and man, you thought, this person, they're going to listen, and they just shut you down right off the bat? And then you have somebody that just, you think, man, there's no way, and they just, wide open. I worked in a weld shop for a while, and I remember it was rough. They found out I was a Christian, and just in the break room and that, man, it was rough. If you guys have ever worked around just a group of guys, it got rough. I remember one time they threw a magazine down in front of me, and I wasn't a jerk about it. I just pushed it out of the way. And I remember this older guy got in my face. He goes, why ain't you laughing, boy? I said, because I'm a Christian. I said, I left that stuff behind. And it was not long after that, a few weeks. I was welding one time, and I don't know if any of you guys in here are welders and that, and I felt the presence of someone behind me. I finished my bead, I lifted my helmet, and there was a guy standing there, one of the guys who was in there. And he said, hey, I just wondered, would you pray for me? My wife and I are having some problems. And in the coming weeks, that was just a theme, one after another. And it shocked me. I'm just like, man, I thought they're going to take and string me up, and here guys are, you never know. Sow the seed regardless. Be a sower of the seed regardless. Isaiah 32, verse 20 is the next spot we're going to go. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that sendeth forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Beside all waters. You know where you ought to be sowing? Right here in Kings Mountain? In Kings Mountain. You ought to be sowing over in Shelby when you go over to that nice new Longhorn over there. You ought to be sowing in Iowa whenever y'all come up there to see that beautiful state. You ought to be sowing in Ukraine when you go over there. Sow beside all waters. Sometimes we worry about the results, or we think we know what the results will be, but guess what? We need to be a sower of the seed, because we are not the ones in control of the increase. Whenever we would sow oats or we'd plant a field, guess what? I kind of joking there tonight in the presentation, we didn't sit there and stare at where we had sowed. We just had to be faithful in getting the crop in the ground. And guess who brought the rain? Guess who made, I don't know about y'all, but I've never been able to make something germinate. But God can. Sow the seed. Sow the seed. How many times have you heard somebody that got witnessed to and they said, you know what, I didn't get saved right away, but God just kept working on my heart? The Holy Spirit of God is the one that does the work. We need to be faithful in sowing. We must sow far and wide in all areas. Our work, our efforts should be reaching, encompassing every area, every person. Be a sower. Be a sower. It's not deep teaching, I get that. But it's asking, it's begging you, it's encouraging you to come back to what the foundational truths are of being a sower. And as the world gets more, and it, y'all know this, but it's not going to turn to a bed of roses. I think about it as I'm working on mechanical things, and that there's times that we'd see a bearing start going out of something in that, and you'd look in there, and sometimes you'd see the shield of that bearing that it's covering the ball bearings, and that would be gone, and maybe you'd see a ball was gone. I always wondered how a ball got out of a ball bearing or out of a bearing without. But anyway, you'd be like, I got to get that fixed or whatever, especially on balers. I don't know why. I hope y'all are farming a little bit, or I'm probably just talking Greek to you. But anyway, bearings on balers were horrible, but you'd see that, and then it would get worse and worse. And then before long, it'd come apart, and that whole thing would just seize up. You understand, in our world, it's things are starting to come apart at the seams. Our pastor always says, look, it's like we're on the Titanic. He said it's not going to just right itself and come out of the water. But guess what? We still need to be sowing the seed regardless of what's going on, knowing that, hey, the Bible tells us all what's good. So we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be apprehensive and anxiety. But we do need to be mindful and pay attention and be like, look, the way everything is designed in that is to distract. How does the devil work? Distract, discourage, and defeat. He wants to distract us, and I believe we're right in the midst of that right now. Distraction and discouragement is two things that he's using, I believe, very strongly against Christians. So this is just an encouragement to say, hey, I'm going to refocus. I'm going to check my vision and refocus on the important things, knowing by faith that makes a difference, even if I don't see. With media, a lot of times, we don't always see. We don't always see the results. But when we do get them, we have a little hallelujah spell. I'll have somebody send me a picture or whatever and say, hey, just want to let you know, these people were saved. They're listening to the radio. This is, they're now in church or whatever. I get a report from a recording studio we do, and they said, hey, man, this is the numbers we're seeing, and we got two families that came that they were Catholics, and they listened to a discipleship, a message I had on just the doctrinal of, Catholicism and biblical Christianity and whatever, and they got saved, and they're in our church now. That just excites the fire out of me. Rather than get distracted, look for things. You know, the phone's a very powerful tool. It can also be a very deadly weapon. We get in that, and we get mucked in, down in the muck and the mire and get discouraged in that. Look to things that encourage you. I love missions conference. I love getting around other Christians. I love hearing what's going on. I love how God uses. There's so much, I think Pastor or Brother mentioned, there's so much going on where God is doing so much around us, and it blow your mind. Be encouraged by that. I'm really encouraged right now by what's going on in closed countries. I'm going to leave it at that. But God is doing a great work there. Yes, he's using media and technology to get a lot of it done. But it is so exciting of what is going on there. And we may not always hear and see about that. So when you hear about it, let that light your fire. Let that get you excited. And say, man, I'm just going to refocus and be a sower. Be a sower. And lastly, I'm going to leave you with an illustration. Whenever I was real little, always had to be in the garden. We had a garden about the size of this auditorium. It was crazy. Half of it and better was potatoes. If you ever around me much, you'll find that I'm not a big fan of potatoes. We had potatoes 3 meals a day about every single day. My wife loves potatoes. Bless her and that. She was a city kid. I was a farm kid. But when I was real little, we'd always be out in the garden working. And I still remember my mom, we had two farms, and I still remember seeing my mom with a rake, and she'd be sitting there, she'd make out her lines, and then she'd go and be dropping a seed in the ground. And just in my mind's, I picture out on the we had a pasture where all of our milk cows were at, and then the on beyond that was more field. And I remember seeing Dad out there, and we had a John Deere 3020 and a six-row planter, and he'd be out there planting corn or beans. And I remember thinking about, you know, I guess just a comparison. Sometimes it's another one of things that we do. I admit we're not perfect. None of us are. Praise God he is, and we just draw close to him, and he writes it right back the way we're going. But I remember thinking, you know what? Mom's not out there planting corn. When that stuff comes up, it's not 100 acres of corn, you know, producing 100 bushel the acre and all these thousands of kernels, if you will. She's usually planting something like radishes or beans, and it comes up, and it's got a little bit of, put it on the dinner table and all that. I have a question. Was what they both doing important? Was what they were both doing what God had, if you would, made them or the area they're in? My mom's not going to go crawl in the tractor and plant. She probably could. But that was her spot in that garden, in that those little rows. And where Dad was at. So always keep in mind, do what you can, where you can, when you can. That's what God desires. My wife had someone call her, and she was discouraged. She hadn't seen somebody saved for a while. And she was just down. And I said, well, just very simply encourage her. Just say, have you been sowing the seed? Because that's what it's all about. No matter who you are or where you're at, just be sowing the seed. So that's the thought this morning. That's what I just wanted to bring us back to and look in the Bible and remind us, be a sower of the seed. Be faithful in sowing the seed. If we're not, guess what? Get right with God and go to sowing the seed. But God is the one that gives you increase, and he is all around the world, and it's exciting. So that's it, Pastor. Thank you.
Crops.